Welcome to the Issue Is Podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we catch up with former President Donald Trump at his golf course in Rancho Palos Verdes, a rare opportunity to talk to him in California. Then, some analysis on a historic week in California politics and national politics with Brian Goldsmith, one of our favorite political analysts. And later, the other side of the debate on Prop 36. Last week, we talked to San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan, a Democrat who wants to pass Prop 36 and reform Prop 47. This week, the other side, from Mayor Daryl Steinberg of Sacramento, arguing against it. But let's start with Donald Trump in town this week for fundraisers and for a big media event. Here's our report.
We don't want this for our country.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump visits California to argue against the Democratic nominee and California native Kamala Harris.
We cannot allow Comrade Kamala Harris and the communist left to do to America what they did to California. The state of California is a mess.
Trump in town for high-priced fundraisers in both Southern and Northern California.
I love this place. Look at this. I own this.
He stops at Trump National Golf Club in Rancho Palos Verdes, nestled along the Pacific Ocean.
USA!
Outside, supporters in this largely conservative community, an outlier in mostly progressive L.A. County.
We're supporting Trump. He had a press conference and we're supporting him.
If you're president, what's the biggest policy difference for the people of California? And what would the nature of your relationship be with the leaders of California who you're calling scum?
Well, I would have a great relationship with them. And what you have to do is start all over again. You cannot have these policies of high taxation. You can't have these policies of politics where you go after your politicians. You have to have an honest voting system because, you know, you don't have an honest voting system.
Trump slamming what he sees as a lack of outreach to Elon Musk's companies by California leaders.
Nobody even calls him to try and get him to stay. I would have been on him. I would have said, let's have lunch, let's have dinner, and then let's have breakfast the following morning, right?
Trump says California should circumvent environmental laws to send more water from Northern California to Southern California. And he would pressure Governor Newsom to do that.
Gavin Newsom is going to sign those papers. And if he doesn't sign those papers, we won't give him money to put out all his fires. And if we don't give him the money to put out his fires, he's got problems. He's a lousy governor. Vote for me, California. I'm going to give you safety. I'm going to give you a great border. And I'm going to give you more water than almost anybody has.
Trump asked to weigh in on California's U.S. Senate race between Republican Steve Garvey and Democrat Adam Schiff, one of Trump's least favorite people.
He has betrayed our national security, and he will do so again.
Crooked Adam Schiff, he's one of the most disgusting human beings. And to think he's going to be a senator, that's why you need me as president, because this guy is a sleazebag.
I voted for him twice.
Garvey told us earlier this year he voted for Trump. But Trump says Garvey has never reached out to him.
Steve Garvey's a nice guy. I don't know him at all. But if he doesn't reach out to MAGA, he has absolutely no
problem.
I don't care what she is. I don't care.
Trump says he is done debating Kamala Harris after this week's showdown on ABC News.
We're going to continue here.
Trump saying moderator David Muir was unfair in fact-checking him and not her.
I was fighting the crazy left radical lunatics at ABC. I lost a lot of respect for David Muir, a guy who has good hair, but not as good as it was 5 years ago, to be honest. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs.
During that debate, Trump highlighting Springfield, Ohio, which has seen thousands of migrants from Haiti.
And we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country. And we're going to start with Springfield.
Trump owns this property here in Rancho Palos Verdes, just down the road from a neighborhood dealing with severe landslides.
Hundreds of homes losing their power and gas due to those landslides. RPV's mayor, John Cruikshank, meeting with Trump after getting a state of emergency approved by Governor Gavin Newsom.
The problem is bigger than the city of Rancho Palos Verdes, and so it's important that we get the attention and the help of the people of California and of the federal government.
Trump praising Cruikshank's leadership.
He's really something very special.
What would you do specifically for the people that live here?
We're going to make it great, including lowering taxes.
Mr. President.
Including lowering
taxes. Mr. President.
Let's talk more about a historic week in politics with one of our smartest friends. Brian Goldsmith is a political strategist and analyst. Brian, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
So we know that you advise a lot of Democrats, and we've talked to you in that capacity. We hope you can do more of the nonpartisan analysis today, which you also do well, and just sort of look big picture on where things are at. We've had a few days to process this debate, one of the highest rated, most important debates in modern American history. How are you processing it?
It was a big win for her, and I say that pretty objectively. I didn't expect her to do as well as she did. I didn't expect Donald Trump to do as badly as he did. And I think this is a relatively inelastic electorate, so you're not going to see a ton of movement like in the old days when a debate would move 8 or 10 points. But in the context of our tribal, closely divided America, 2 or 3 points is a big deal, and I think she could get that.
Why do you think she wants to do another debate?
Because she had a good one, because Trump had a bad one, because I think she has confidence now and feels good about the experience and thinks she can repeat it. I don't understand why Trump doesn't want another debate, because if he had just stuck to what his advisors wanted him to do, which is talking about the economy, the border, inflation, you know, this all sounds great, but why didn't you get it done over the last 3.5 years? We would be in a far different place today. Instead, it's kind of raining cats and dogs for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I mean, he made that point in his closing argument after we had watched all this for more than an hour and a half. And that's the point that they wanted him to make in his opening argument and make it over and over again. He kept getting distracted by her insults of all the things that frustrate him, and he never got back on track.
Well, what she did so brilliantly, and she had a plan for this, was to include in every answer a little Freudian bit of bait that they thought he would want to swallow whole on the size of his crowds, on his father and his inheritance, on all sorts of stuff that they knew that he would lunge at. And indeed, he did. And he probably had some other voices in his ear, like his new pal, Laura Loomer, giving him all sorts of kind of fake news and bad information that reinforces his worldview. So he didn't do the work. He didn't prepare. He did get distracted. And as a result, the debate was a disaster.
And Laura Loomer is a conservative conspiracy theorist that Marjorie Taylor Greene says has too many conspiracy theories. She traveled with Trump this week on the plane and is clearly somebody who he is listening to at this point.
And Corey Lewandowski is back, his original campaign manager from 2016, who says, let Trump be Trump. So the pros are getting a little bit sidelined by the, you know, Trump originalists who are reinforcing all of his worst instincts.
Critics of Harris would say that she did a good job of prosecuting the case against Trump, but not necessarily making the affirmative case for her, introducing herself, laying out detailed policy examples, answering some of the questions directly. Do you think she still has some work to do on that?
You always have some additional work to do. I mean, a sort of occupational hazard of Democratic politics is focusing on the negative and not the positive, always seeing the tunnel at the end of the light. And I think in this case, she did a really good job. She did talk about middle-class economics a lot. Could she improve? Yes, I think she could have a more coherent story about what her presidency would mean to the middle class, knitting these policy ideas together into something coherent. I think she could bring more of her biography to this case. I think she needed stronger rebuttals to the points that he's making on inflation and the border. But overall, it was a very calm, confident, collected performance.
And we know a lot of conservatives are very frustrated with the way that ABC News handled the debate, pushing him, not pushing her as much. But when you're really focused on the refs, usually that means you're kind of losing, as we've seen in the past.
Well, kind of remarkable. The Trump defenders weren't even claiming that he won the debate. Instead, they went on the attack against the moderators. Fairly or unfairly, you know that's a sign that they lost the debate.
So let's talk about Trump's strategy now, saying he doesn't want a debate. You say it doesn't make sense. What is the calculus there of why he would not want to go do a debate, especially somebody who loves being on TV as much as he does?
Yeah, I think he's been flummoxed and cowed a little bit by his experience with her. And it's a huge mistake. He could have a much stronger performance the second time if he actually were disciplined and prepared. Although that's a little bit like saying, you know, if he were a completely different person, he could do a great job. I mean, part of it is Trump is Trump. But even still, if he went in with a plan like what he did the last 5 minutes of the debate and stuck to it, I think he could have a bit of a comeback. So just from a purely mercenary sort of Trump strategy perspective, I don't think it makes any sense.
So if there isn't a debate, we kind of have had the biggest moment now in this race. Kamala Harris says she's the underdog still. Do you buy that? Is Kamala Harris still the underdog in this race?
Well, according to the polling before the debate, she was, because it essentially showed a popular vote tie. And that's not good enough for her to get 270. She's got to win the popular vote by 3 or 4, because remember, the key battleground state are about 2 or 3 points more Republican than the country. It's sort of the opposite of what Obama faced in 2012. So she has to move ahead. Trump has to fall back a little bit. This debate may have done that, but we're not really going to know until we see the polling middle of next week.
So you would say right now the race still tied or maybe advantaged Trump?
Right now, I think the race is tied.
Yeah. So another big thing coming up is the VP debate. Historically, these have not mattered all that much. With it being so close, could it matter this time?
Well, I think everything sort of matters this time. I mean, the old cliche is nobody votes for vice president. But sometimes people vote against a vice president, as they did with Sarah Palin. So J.D. Vance is the rare VP choice, thanks to the brilliant advice of Donald Trump's sons and Tucker Carlson, quite a brain trust there, that actually has broken through even to sort of low information, undecided voters. And the more they see him, the less they like him. And his sort of anti-NATO, anti-immigrant, anti-woman instincts are exactly the opposite of what Trump needs to reassure the voters that are uncertain about him.
And J.T. Vance's past comments about childless cat ladies has certainly animated a whole lot of women across the country, including Taylor Swift, this week, who makes her endorsement of Kamala Harris holding her cat, calling herself a childless cat lady.
Yeah, if you wonder whether that broke through. I mean, the single biggest celebrity in the world, I have a friend in the music business who said, no, no, you don't understand. She's bigger than Elvis. She's bigger than Sinatra. She's bigger than the Beatles were at their prime. There has never been anything like her. And for somebody, you know, of that kind of stature and magnitude to go all in as she has for Kamala Harris, that's got to mean something. And indeed, we saw hundreds of thousands of young people registering to vote in the wake of her Instagram story.
So what's more significant, the VP debate itself or Taylor Swift's endorsement?
Probably Taylor Swift's endorsement, unless J.D. Vance again says something really stupid and memeable that kind of breaks through to the voters that Trump needs to win.
So what's the biggest task forward? We'll break down for each of them, for Harris and for Trump, in these closing weeks as people now begin to vote. Let's start with Harris.
Reassure people, continue to reassure people that she's mainstream and a strong leader. I think create a little bit more distance from the last 4 years and lean more heavily into what she's going to do differently the next 4 years, kind of fill in what the new way forward actually means to voters. And for Trump, stop stepping in it, stop punching himself in the face, you know, do a little bit more of what he did in the last 6 weeks of the 2016 campaign and stick to the script.
We'll see if he is able to do that. As we saw earlier in the year, people wanted Joe Biden to be less old, and that was hard for him to do. It may be hard for Trump to become a different person at this point in his life, but it is fascinating to watch and so consequential on so many levels, which is why so many people are tuning in right now. Brian Goldsmith, always great.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Friend. Thank you.
And by the way, if we want more information on the debate itself, we hosted a special post-debate edition of The Issue Is right here, right after the debate. You can check that out at youtube.com/AlexMichelson, featuring Lisa Bloom, John Cobalt, and lots of different analysis. Things got fiery during that show.
If we don't have the tools to compel people who are severely addicted into treatment, if we don't give judges the ability to mandate treatment, I think it's going to be very hard to end this era of encampments.
That was San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan here on The Issue Is last week. Mahan was the first but not the only Democratic mayor to back the efforts to reform 2014's Prop 47 with 2024's Prop 36, which will appear on the November ballot. Prop 36 allows felony charges for possessing certain drugs and for thefts under $950 if the defendant has two prior drug or theft convictions. Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg is against Prop 36. Before his current job, he was the longtime leader of California's state Senate. He joins us now from Sacramento, home of our affiliate CBS 13. Mayor Steinberg, welcome to The Issue Is, I believe, for the very first time.
Well, it's my debut, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you, Alex.
Good to see you. So real simply, why are you a no on Prop 36?
We have a very serious problem in our state with retail theft and with drug abuse and drug addiction, and of course, the sale of fentanyl and all the tragedies that have gone with that. This is the wrong solution. To basically increase our jail and prison population while cutting the funding for treatment, which is the stated intent of Prop 36, this initiative taps into the emotion and the anger that people feel. But as often happens with some initiatives, just because it states a problem and a serious problem doesn't mean the solution is the right one, and this is the wrong one. Let me tell you why. It takes us back decades to an era where we are going to imprison people or put people in county jail, not for drug sales, but for drug possession.
But isn't part of it not necessarily just mandating prison time or jail time, but there is an option giving discretion to mandate treatment?
There is no evidence that the district attorneys who are sponsoring this or their partners at the county are committed to actually increasing the amount of treatment that would be necessary.
But this isn't just conservative DAs that are pushing this. You have progressive mayors in places like San Diego, San Francisco, and San Jose, Mayor Mahan, who was with us last week, who are all saying that we need to do this. They all were supporters of Proposition 1, which you put out to help increase treatment. Mayor Mahan talked about Prop 47's impact on minority communities when he joined us last week. I want to play that and have you respond.
It's our communities of color that are most impacted by drug overdoses, by homelessness. It's our small businesses. In San Jose, we have 60,000 small businesses, over half of which are immigrant-owned. Those are the folks coming to me every day asking us to do more, asking us to do better.
He says since Prop 47 passed, drug overdoses have doubled. Homelessness is up 60% in California, and we've seen rise in retail theft. What do you say to all the people who have been victimized and feel like Prop 47 isn't working and we need to do something radically different?
Well, first of all, I have great regard for Mayor Mahan and Mayor Gloria. They're two of our 13 big city mayors. They're great friends, and I have great regard and respect for them. I just plain disagree with them on this. There's nothing in Prop 36 that actually says people are going to get the help they need. And Prop 47, frankly, I think it has been an unfair scapegoat for far too many of the society's problems. You know, in Texas, for example, that the threshold between misdemeanor and felony is much higher than the 950 in California. Texas, the law and order state. The truth of the matter is that judges currently, DAs currently have the authority to charge people who are selling drugs. If you possess drugs of a high enough amount, you can also be charged with a felony, and they can seek mandated treatment, both under the criminal law and under the civil law. And they're not doing it. They're not doing it because there aren't enough treatment slots.
As you wrap up your time as the mayor of Sacramento and your time before that as the leader of the state Senate, you have worked with a lot of the most high-profile people in the history of California politics. So for our name game, the one word or a short phrase for each of these figures that you learned about leadership, the most important thing you learned from some of these most famous politicians. Here we go. First thing that comes to mind when I ask you about Governor Jerry Brown.
Competent, capable, and visionary, and helped the state out of the worst budget crisis in modern history.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Loved working with Governor Schwarzenegger. Loved California, loves California, loves democracy, and is not afraid to have a fight even with his own party.
Gavin Newsom.
Visionary. Has chosen to take on some of the most unpopular and hard issues of our time, namely mental health and homelessness, and has done so fearlessly and delivered big results and a lot of resources for cities and counties.
Karen Bass, who was the leader of the assembly when you led the Senate.
Through the historic budget crisis of 2009, one of my favorite people in politics and in life. Principled, huge amount of integrity, steely, and more than most anyone I've ever worked with knows how to get it done. She's a great mayor and a great public servant.
And lastly, somebody you served with in multiple different roles, who's now the Democratic nominee for president, Kamala Harris.
Incredible pride. Worked with the vice president when I was president pro tem, and she was the attorney general. And I am so proud and inspired by her, and count it as one of my great blessings in life that I had the chance in life to work with her. May she be the next president of the United States.
And lastly, we play a game called Personal Issues. It's the first thing that comes to mind to get to know you a little bit better. 30 seconds on the clock, rapid fire. Mayor Steinberg, what is your favorite TV show?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Great choice. Favorite book?
Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Another great choice. Favorite sports team?
If this is shown in L.A., I'm sorry. The San Francisco Giants.
Bad choice. Okay. Favorite athlete?
Favorite athlete of all time? Two, the late, great Willie Mays and the greatest Dodger of all time, Sandy Koufax, Jewish and left-handed, just like me.
I love that. Jackie Robinson may be the greatest Dodger of all time, but Sandy Koufax is a good one, too. And lastly, who is your role model?
Well, I have, I think I have many role models, but I guess if I have two favorite politicians or people I look up to, it's probably Abraham Lincoln and Nelson Mandela, both who represented the epitome of leadership. And I look forward to adding Kamala Harris to that list, too, but next president of the United States.
If she can compare with those two, then things are going really well, not only for her, but also for the country. Mayor Steinberg, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. Hope to have you here in studio sometime soon.
Love to come. Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
Our thanks to Mayor Steinberg, to Brian Goldsmith, to former President Trump, and to you for listening. You can check out other past episodes right here on the feed. Let us know what you think. Like, subscribe, tell people about us, and then we'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is.